Thank you, Ms. Rhoda and Harold. We appreciate it. Have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Psalms, chapter 63. The book of Psalms, chapter 63. I've heard Harold sing many a time, and Harold, I can't think of a time I've ever heard you sing that you don't end with happy trails. Fond memories of that song growing up as a kid. That's right. Psalms chapter 63. We'll tell you as well that if you are interested or would like to, with all that we see going on in our world today and in this country, especially for the lack of support to Israel as a nation. There is the, Edward, am I right? The Christian, is it Christian Jewish? Speak up louder. I know you can talk louder than that. National Fellowship of Christian and Jews. They have on there, it's not asking for a donation, but they would like anyone who supports Israel as the nation, as God's people, to sign. They want to be able to present that to the Israeli people to let them know what they see in the news is not the true perspective of all American citizens. So if you'd like to do that, go to that website, Christian and National Association of International Association of Christians and Jews. I can't believe you're that soft spoken in the morning. Usually when she hollers at me, I can hear her for 3 miles away. So for those of you visiting, that's our church secretary. She beats upon me. Keeps me in line. Psalm 63. The title of the message is The Thirst of Life. We, in our nation, over and over, we were, Rusty and I this morning, we're listening to some of the news blips. They were talking about how that young people are having anxieties and depressions and I guess that's a little hard for me to fathom. I mean, I understand, but at the same time, I don't. We don't let our kids be kids anymore. We put so much pressure on them. And the problem is they don't have the good foundation to know that, at least how I was raised, many of you were raised, you had a foundation that your parents and grandparents taught you of Jesus Christ, of how He loves you and cares for you. And yet, we see this anxiety, this depression in young people because they have no foundation to go to. They haven't been taught. And they have that thirst, and as an adulthood, we see that people constantly talk about what they want out of life. And we're made to have a thirst of life. But that true life can only come through Jesus Christ. So this morning, the thirst of life, Psalm 63, if you're able, invite you to stand to honor of reading of God's Word. As David, one of David's Psalms that he writes here in 63, he says, O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because of Your loving kindness is better than that of life. My lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands to your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. You may be seated. David here by the land in which he lived as a shepherd, and especially during the time that he was pursued by Saul, went across the desert. And oftentimes, as we know of that countryside over there, water is not plentiful. Living here in the hill country, we understand that. We have been very blessed this year. We've commented today coming in, we've not seen an August be so green in a long time. And so we have been very blessed. However, the weatherman, if you believe him, says that this coming week we're going to hit the century mark and we're going to continue to keep it there. And I don't care what they said yesterday. Jacob and I were out working in it, and it may not have been 100 where they were, but it was over 100 where we were, at least by the way it felt. And in doing that, I thought about that of what David writes here. So we were doing different things, chores yesterday, different tasks, but it required us being out there in the sun, and we are in this, and we constantly at my other job are reminding guys to make sure they stay hydrated, make sure that they drink throughout the day. And the heat zaps it out of you, especially if you haven't had the water. We know that it can cause serious effects health-wise. And with heat stroke, those type of things that take place. And as we worked there, we were working and doing it, things for about, 30 minutes or so, but it was in the direct sunlight. It was very hot. We were digging a hole, so we was back to the old manual labor. I tried to instruct him and just supervise, but that didn't work either, so we had two shovels going. I tried to figure out a way he could do it all, but we wanted to get it done. But as we did that, I told him, I said, let's take a break. Let's just go sit and drink for a little while. Get in the shade. There wasn't any breeze. And I thought about that, how that what sounded so good was water. To have that thirst of water. Now, we can drink Gatorades and other things along the way. That's fine. But there's certain times, even after you finish one of those type of drinks that's supposed to replenish the electrolytes, I just have a thirst for plain old water, good cold water. Our place has a well. We talked about that as we were helping out the dry soil there, flooding that hole so it could be a little easier to dig. Put that water in there, and Jacob commented how cold that water was, and we drank from it and, sprayed it on yourself to get cool because that well keeps that water cold down below. And just how reviving physically the water was. And of course, y'all know I got the German Shepherd, and she thinks she's a water dog as well, so she has to participate in the play of the water, especially with everybody getting wet. But how refreshing, not only internally, but externally. And throughout the Bible, it speaks, even in the Old Testament, we're very familiar in the New Testament, that Jesus approaches the woman at the well, and he asks her for a drink, and the conversation goes, and he said, if you knew who asked you, you would be asking me for the living water, where you never thirst again. But it resonated with this hot environment that, with me off of the yesterday of the hot, and working in that heat, and having to take more rapid breaks than we normally would because of that heat. We had been in the shop earlier working and don't require as many breaks. You got fans running, you have some breeze, but out in the direct sunlight and where there is no breeze, it doesn't take very long. About a half of an hour, you're ready to sit and drink and rest for a little while, for about 15, 20 minutes and go back to it. And that thirst, that desire was there. And I thought about what people desire out of life and how they thirst for the bountiful life, the things of life that they think will satisfy them. And yet, none of them ever do. We watch people jump around from different sports or different jobs or whatever they think is going to make them happy. And they can't find that happiness. They can't find that fulfillment. Jesus talked about that he was the living water. And we talk about that Jesus never spoke of anything that he had not heard his Father say. In Jeremiah chapter 2, throughout the Bible it is here, but in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, Jeremiah, the prophet, records these things that God gave him. He says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and honed themselves cisterns and broken cisterns that can hold no water." And I thought about that verse and the state of our world today. Notice what it said again. He says, "For my people have committed two evils." Not one, but two. One, they have forsaken me, the Lord God Almighty, the fountain of living water. And then he says, "They have honed for themselves cisterns and broken cisterns that can hold no water." We have placed idols or things in front of the Lord that we think will make us happy. We'll never find that happiness of them. God put in each one of us a God spot that can only be filled by Him. That relationship, even that He created man from the very beginning. And so we go throughout life thirsting for something that will satisfy that God spot. And there's only one thing that will do it, and it's living water. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 17, brings up the term of living water. He says in 17:13, he says here, "Therefore thus saith..." got on the wrong chapter there. Let's try that again. 13. He says, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water." Zechariah will record the same thing about again. He is the fountain of living water. And so we have this well, if you will. This well that, and we understand that around here. Some of you live up in the Pontotoc area in different places. There are some wells up there that will produce more than 100 gallons per minute. Great water. They come down deep from that artesian well, and it's very good and cold water. And the same is about our Lord. You and I understand physically that we can go a number of days without food. But without water, it's about 3 days, and that's it. And that's if you're lucky and fortunate in those 3 days. And what happens is, and I want you to think about this, realistically, when you go without water, you out in the heat because you're dehydrated, what begins to happen? Your mind does not work correctly. You can't make proper decisions. Oftentimes, you will begin to hallucinate. Now, I'm going to relate that to our world. Do you really think people are thinking straight? They hallucinate. We hear that all the time. Different things that they say is true that we can see with our own eyes is a lie. Biggest one comes to mind is the border secure. Yeah, well, I've got a jobs and all down on the border. Go tell somebody else another fairy tale. They hallucinate these things. It's not true. We can see it ourselves. But yet, because we have starved ourselves of God's love, of His water, we begin to come into that same effect that physically we have when we don't have water. Remember, the Lord talks to us and teaches us that nature always exemplifies God. Throughout nature, we can see. Now, I don't know about y'all, but prior to the rain that we had here a couple of weeks ago, I had mowed the back area that has kind of weed infested, but it's the back area for the goats and things. But I had to knock it down because of fear of fire in that back area. And there wasn't hardly nothing. Everywhere you walked, you could hear crunch. You know, it sounded like you had opened up a bag of Rice Krispies in the morning, just walking across it, right? We had that little shire. I knocked down weeds yesterday 3 feet tall that before that weren't even green. The moisture that comes from above is far more to all of our yards, our pastures, no matter how good of wells we have. I speak about the wells, the 100 produces, 100 plus gallon a minute wells, the artesian wells, use it on the hay fields and all. As good as that water is, it is not like having a shower from heaven, because that hay will pop up tremendously. And the same is true for our lives. When we try, just as we read here in Jeremiah, we try to have our own cisterns, our own wells, our own pots that will hold water. All of them are cracked. It may satisfy for the moment, but it doesn't satisfy the true thirsting that is there. Only the Lord, the living water, the fountain of the living water, will satisfy what you and I are thirsting for. And truly, as Jesus says, then we begin to experience an abundant life, not just life, existence, but abundant life. And so here we see that. Jesus himself speaks about, as I said, with the woman at the well, but he again in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7 in verse 37, Jesus declares in his own words. He says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. See, we can't share a living water with others if we don't have it within ourselves. Now, a cistern for some of us around here in the countryside means a number three wash tub, a big bucket. And if your bucket's got a hole, I think there's a song about that, Harold, about your bucket having a hole in it. One of them old songs that if I remember right. But if your bucket has a hole in it, any of you ever tried to do that, carry water that you need to, and your bucket's got a big split in the bottom of it or a hole in it? Time you get to where you're going, you ain't got no water left. You got to get a new bucket. Now, Mater, he'll put some Flex Seal on it or something, you know, try to seal it up. But it still squirts out. So I would ask you today, has your bucket got a hole? Or can you catch the living water that Jesus Christ gives to you that you have plenty to be able to share with someone else? Living water. Not just a cool drink, but the living water where you thirst no more. That God spot is satisfied. You know, we talk about heaven and hell. Revelation gives us a picture of heaven. Turn with me, if you will, over to Revelation chapter 7. In verse 17. There are those who always want to say, well, the Bible is just filled with fairy tales and stories that make people feel good, but it's not exact. Revelation describes to you and I, it is the revelation of God of what is and is to come. And we're able to understand, and not only in our life, in our world of what we see, but in the life hereafter. Revelation speaks of heaven for us to understand, speaks of hell as well. But in Revelation chapter 7, in verse 17, it speaks here, says, for the Lamb, meaning Jesus, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see, even in heaven, that throne itself, that fountain of living water, that the old prophets spoke of in Jeremiah and Zechariah, the one that Jesus himself proclaimed, I am the living water. You and I are cast into eternal death without Jesus Christ's redemption. And we have to believe on him, just as we read in John. He who believes on me with his heart and accepts me gets the living water. Life abundant for all of eternity. And here in Revelation, once again, our Savior is there. He is in the midst. He is the fountain of that living water that will survive us throughout all of eternity. Our physical bodies even cry out for water. In my mind, the heat, the stresses of labor, the stresses of life. It's what that exemplifies, how it wears you down each and every moment. There are so many things I started out talking about the young people. You see, as adults, I understand that to a degree. We have a job. We have the pressures of providing for our families. We have the daily grind that we go through. And yet, here's a child, the most grinding he should really have is not whether or not his parents are fighting, not whether or not they're going to stay together, not whether or not he's being abused, but his daily grind should be no more about whether or not he's going to pass an English test. But I guess we don't have to worry about the test because we don't really teach anymore in our schools, right? We can't, if they're not getting it at home, they don't get the Bible in our schools. We don't have prayer in our schools. And we're taking it out of our nation. We are starving ourselves to death. Don't know how else to look at it. It's kind of like those crew members that I tell, you know, we preach that every single day. See, we preach outside of the pulpit too. Preach every day. Do not drink the energy drinks. They're full of caffeine. They dehydrate you rather than hydrating you. And when one of them finally goes down, you start talking to him, what all you had to drink this morning? Well, I had 5 energy drinks. How much water did you drink? Well, I didn't. I had the 5 energy drinks. You just energized yourself almost into a point of death. But we, as people, believe we can energize ourselves. I got news for you. All you're doing is drilling a bigger hole in your bucket. Where it used to squirt out, now it gushes out. And folks, unfortunately, we see that rampaging through our nation and through our world. To bring it closer to home, we see it happening in our families. Our communities. You and I cannot sustain life physically nor spiritually without water. Physical water for us physically, living water for us spiritually. How's your bucket this morning? Has it got a hole in it? There's only one thing that'll patch it up. See, Jesus fixes those broken vessels, those broken buckets or pots, whatever term you want to use, he fixes them. He's a master of it. And he'll fill that broken vessel full of living water that you in turn can share with others who have broken vessels. We thirst for life. And just as in Jesus' day, life was right in front of them. Life is in front of you and I today. It is the gospel. It is Jesus Christ. I bet you'd bow your head and close your eyes. I'm done. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, you're broken. And I don't say that easily, but it's true. You're broken. And if you were to die today, the rest of eternity, you would spend it in hell. The only way that you get to heaven despite what the world wants to tell you, lies of the devil, is to know Jesus Christ personally. It's not about whether you believe there is a God. It's whether or not you personally have accepted that God, that Jesus Christ. And He is the true and only living God. There are no others. But if you accept Him as your Lord and Savior and allow Him, He will give you living water for all of eternity. If you're here today and don't know Him, we want to give you that opportunity. We'll say a very simple prayer. You're going to hear folks all over this room say that same prayer to encourage you. Because the old devil's still out there. He'll try to give you all sorts of reasons that you can't have that living water. But my friend, he's a liar, and he always has been, and he always will be. It's not hard to see when you look around our world the lies that have been spun that people are believing that he tells. He's been doing that ever since the Garden of Eden, and he ain't stopped yet. Christian, you see, it's not enough just for us to have our little portion of living water. God wants to fill our bucket till it runs over. Remember the words of the 23rd Psalm when he said, "My cup runneth over"? That's our bucket. It runs over with all that he gives us, the joy that we should have in our lives. That we can share it with others and others can see that there's something different in our lives. It's kind of hard to do when we let sin trickle in and bust a big old hole in our bucket. So maybe today it is that you're a believer, but you've had holes in your bucket. That same master that came to you when you accepted him will fix those holes as well. Time for each one of us to be able to rededicate our lives. Remember the words of Jeremiah, "My people have forsaken me." You and I are God's people. Maybe not by heritage of being born a Jew, but we are through Jesus Christ. He proclaims that we are sons and daughters of the Father. You and I are put on a plane with Jesus Christ to be sons and daughters of the living God. Woo! Man, that's high cotton. So today, as we go to prayer, I invite you to think about what bucket you have. Will it hold the living water? Or is it empty and you're dying of thirst for Jesus Christ, the fountain of living water? As we pray together, dear Lord Jesus, I come today confessing I am a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. And I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I ask you today to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, and to walk with me always, even into eternity. That's a Lord and a Savior. He's your Lord by being God's Son. He's your Savior by giving you living water, that never again will you thirst. What an opportunity he has given to us. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you ask Jesus Christ into your heart for the very first time, I ask you to just slip your hand up and back down that I might pray for you and pray with you. Your life just started over. No greater decision will you ever make. Christian, our lives as Christians are not to be passive. God never intended for it to be that way. He intends for us to be active, to let our cup, our bucket, overflow with His water. to be shared with all that we come in contact. Whether it's verbally or by actions, doesn't matter. He says we are that light on the hill. Share that water. Old devil will tell you, oh, you got all these reasons you can't. Again, he lies to Christians just as he does those who don't know the Lord yet. Probably even more so to try to prevent us from sharing that gospel. Trust in him with all of your heart. He'll give you the words to say, and the time is right. But share that water. What blessed living water it is. Brother Mike, would you close us, please, sir?